Hello, yo, and welcome to Gorilla Position. Thank you very much for hitting the download button on this. Your pro wrestling, a slash sports entertainment podcast of pleasure. My name's James D'Lo, your host and your guide through the wonderful world of WWE. No exciting theme tune to open the show. It's very much a scaled down production today. No WWE voiceover man introing us. As you know, Simon Editor is on paternity leave. His partner gave birth to a beautiful baby girl a week or so ago. So he's still off work. Our backup editor, Sam, is as WWE would say, he's on assignment in Barcelona. So this is a stripped back production. But what is not stripped back is the fact that we have all four members of the Goosebumps together.
Shock the system.
Yeah, there is four of us. We could shock to the system.
This has been a long time coming. He's a writer for WWE Kids Magazine, editor of Kick Magazine, Mr. Ash Rose.
All in. So we're the all in version today.
We are all in.
Pleasure to be back. Boys did a good job on Friday.
Thanks. We missed you, though.
Oh, thanks.
Although, we appreciated you sending the Rose recommendation.
Have you seen Tuesday in Texas?
It's not for a long time.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
I think the last time I saw that was about 1991.
Yeah, I forgot it existed, and I rewatched it.
It went down well. A lot of people loved that.
Yeah.
I always recommend.
What I love about that feature is people tweet us and actually say, I'm watching this on the network now.
Yeah. Well, it's great. Well done.
Take a recommendation. The Savage Roberts match, the fact that, you know, afterwards there's some, you know, shenanigans with Elizabeth. Like, you never saw that at the time.
Elizabeth.
Tell
you what, Jake the Snake Roberts without Jake the Snake at the front.
I was
Jake
just
Roberts
thinking that.
Loses a lot of impact.
Jake Roberts.
Jake Roberts. not that scary. And also someone that's not scary. Zoom. He's a commentator for TalkSport Live and Chelsea TV. Mr. Matt Davis. Adams.
Hey, there we go.
Keep forgetting. Yeah. I will get used to it.
Bill, think about poor postman. His head's spinning. He hasn't got a clue what's going on.
MDA, MDA, MDA.
Isn't that a drug?
I was just about to say that. Yeah.
You need an M in there somewhere. But you know, I'm high on Hell in a Cell and Punk.
Good.
I'm drinking a Punk.
Thanks to BrewDog.
Yeah, thanks BrewDog.
Punk IPAs. Delicious. And finally, he's a rapper. He's a DJ. He's a podcast host. Oh, Stat Guy Greg, friend. Oh, love
friend.
Me. Love me.
Shout out to my boy Stat Guy Greg and Peter Rosenberg.
He's a good lad.
Those images of you were very beautiful. Your weekend away together looks amazing.
He's my podcast bro. You guys are my podcast familia. You're my blood brothers with podcast. Oozing out your veins. But he's my podcast cousin.
You forget that we all had a beer together in Brooklyn.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, yeah. Great guy.
Podcast cousin.
Hey, listen. I'm high off life and I'm high of talking about Hell in a Cell. So let's, from the illustrious words of UK rap legend Mike Skinner, let's put on our classics and have a little dance, shall we?
Reebok classics.
Oh, good, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Thank you.
So yeah, Hell in a Cell, last night.
Street.
This is our reaction show. What was that street song?
Fit Beat, I don't know it.
No, the
Dry Your Eyes, Mate.
Dry Your Eyes, Mate. What a tune. Absolute tune. That was his ballad, wasn't it?
There's plenty of more fish in the sea.
He called it a Chav love song or something like that, didn't he? A love song for Chavs or something
it's
like that.
It's the only street song I actually
remember
enjoyed.
Remember the tune Harvey Nicks he had?
Pirate Material.
Harvey Nicks.
What about original Pirate Material? Straight Down Your Aerial.
Yeah. Has it come to this?
Matt's very silent at this point.
The whole first album, great.
Exactly.
The last one was pretty good, but there was that ropey one sort of in the middle with no references to modern
life. My God, don't you know it.
He was a time, wasn't it? It was a time. Yeah. Maybe not the best time.
Yeah, quickly, yeah, that's the thing with modern references. Like, you won't find us on Alta Vista.
No.
What's Alta Vista? Yeah. Remember that? They got floored with Ask Jeeves, didn't they?
Jeeves. If someone goes back in the archives and listens to this podcast in 2 years' time, they'll be like, what on earth is the streets?
Yeah.
There's probably people now saying it.
They'll be like, what on earth is WWE?
We've lost subscribers.
Yeah.
Sorry. We're talking about the streets.
We do on a weekly basis. But they'll all come flooding back because we're all together yet again. Right, Hell in a Cell, last night, San Antonio, Texas, AT&T Center. Just want to talk quickly about the kickoff show.
So you had the Raw relegated show.
So you had Jonathan Coachman as your lead host.
He's much better at that, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Matt.
Yeah. So you enjoy coaching his position?
Yeah, well, that's obviously what he used to do for ESPN, isn't it? Something similar, so he can...
I think he did a great job.
Yeah. I didn't think he looked that interested.
He's what I would call a competent host.
That's exactly what I've got. I've got obviously competent. He's obviously a great broadcaster given his history in WWE. I think he was at ESPN for like 9 years. So obviously he does his job very well. But I just thought compared to Rene, and I know we all love Rene, but that sort of likability factor and that enthusiasm.
Yeah,
like
he was a bit monotone. No, monotone is probably too, just a bit too sports. Like, it was no enthusiasm with the product.
Coach is tired.
Yeah.
But also, as we said with Rene on commentary, give him a couple of goes to get back into the swing of it. Yeah. It was his first one, wasn't it?
I just felt like there wasn't. He was more interested in coming across very professionally. Yeah.
Delivering the message.
Yeah, delivering the messages, getting everything word perfect. But there was just a bit of lack of enthusiasm. However, that was brought to the table by Pete Rosenberg, who I thought was ace. Yep. What did you think of Paige on the panel?
I think she was all right.
I thought she did all right.
She did okay.
I think she's really, really coming across as a good talker, isn't she? She's such a good GM.
She actually finally impressed me as a GM today, last night.
Standing up to Samoa Joe.
That was amazing. Oh. That was... That's what I want to see more of Paige. That's the Paige I want to see.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Booker T was also there.
It was everyone relegated from the Raw booth.
During the second half. David Otunga was there, who, hilariously, when Alexa Bliss, they were doing the live link-up interview. Bit. So everyone got a question with Alexa Bliss. Coach, Paige, Pete Rosenberg.
Oh, Rosenberg, yeah.
And then Otunga went, so Alexa, David Otunga here. And then she just went, no. And just walked off.
That was done really well.
Yeah, he's done well to still be on those kickoff shows, though, hasn't he? Because, I mean, he was not a good wrestler, and that was like 5 years ago. So
he was a terrible wrestler.
And he's just not, and I don't want to slag him off, because, you know, he's all right. He's obviously got a good look. He knows what he's talking about in a way. But he's not that relevant.
No.
I just, you know, in the current product, who
he
is he?
Must be friends with Triple H, maybe.
Skillet and his theories.
Yeah. He had that star factor for a lot before the Jennifer split, husband. Didn't he? Yeah, he had that star factor, mainstream thing, didn't he? But
now that's gone.
Yeah. I'm not sure where the future lies for David. Maybe more kickoff shows.
Give me sport, WWE.
Yeah, hey.
Give
cheeky.
Me strength.
Are they joking?
Cheeky. Yeah. Legit.
I'll be sending shots here live on the airwaves.
This, I mean,
legit.
Stole the copy of my tweet.
Yeah,
my gag.
Use the same pick.
Use the exact same screen grab. Come replied, on. Going, a legit coincidence. Was
Let's
it, love?
The thing is, it wasn't even that funny.
Let's go to York.
Right, Matt. That is out of order.
It was like a 5 out of 10 gag.
Yeah.
That's better than 4 out of 10.
But they could have stolen
it is by one,
ones.
Yeah.
You had better gags throughout the night. Obviously, they were going to steal them again.
You were warming up.
I noticed that. Exactly. They didn't tweet much more after that.
They were suitably chastised by that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't tweet much more.
And they deleted the tweet, they apologised, but I'm not going to let it go.
Yeah. Well, we started a beef.
Yeah.
We're going to war.
I think we should start a rivalry.
Yeah.
Should we get a tank, go to the headquarters?
They don't have a headquarters, Lynn. New Day versus Rusev Day. Tag team titles on the line. Smackers tag team titles on the line in the kickoff show.
They should have called this match Rude Day, shouldn't they?
Rude Day. Rude Day!
This match was fun.
I really enjoyed this.
Yeah. Fast paced, great action, entertaining, back and forth. Aiden English, Rusev were great. New Day were great. It was just a great match.
I thought it was getting really exciting. 3 more minutes and it could have been an absolute belter.
Mm-hmm. But you don't want the absolute belter on the kickoff, I suppose. Do you?
Well, they need to have done it before.
Yeah.
With the Usos at SummerSlam. That was a classic match. But as soon as that was on the kickoff, though, you know he was going to win. It was always going to be the New Day. Before it was on the kickoff. It was on the main card.
Yeah. We've only announced a couple of days before.
The crowd was red hot for Rusev Day as well, man.
Well, they have been since whenever. They don't want to pull the trigger. Clearly, they're going to feud, aren't they? It's going to be Rusev, Aiden English.
Mm. Aiden English is, I don't know if I've just not noticed, but he's actually quite a good wrestler, isn't he?
Yeah.
I've got a note here saying man of the match, Aiden English. Mm.
Yeah.
Really fluid, really adaptable, flies around all over the place.
Does the frog splash in honour of his... Mrs. Father.
He does it so well as well.
And it's fair play to him. Like, when the Vaudevillains split up and Simon Gooch went, I think every one of us would have said, well, that's it, Aiden English. You'll see him. He'll be on Superstars. You won't really see much of him again. It's, and he's really made a niche for himself.
I knew they'll do things.
Of course you do, Skills.
It's Gotch, isn't it?
Gotch.
I was thinking
Gooch. Gooch.
Graham's brother.
Yeah.
But I thought he was great. He's got a real intensity as well. just very smooth in the ring. Yeah. I'm a big fan.
He'll be good when he's feuding with Ty Dillinger in a month or two's time.
Can't bloody wait for that. Can't wait for that.
And so, R-Truth, although I loved it. You didn't mention R-Truth when you talked about SmackDown on Friday.
R-Truth has been amazing.
I think he's been doing really fun.
I think I mentioned that on...
Did you?
I said R-Truth's been amazing. He's get out of your Hall of Shame. That's what I said to you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's been amazing.
Yeah.
Get him out of your Hall of Shame.
Can we move anyone out of the Hall of Shame? Is that allowed?
Yes, you can.
Only Hogan.
He's not in our Hall of Shame.
He should be.
Oh, he's the next inductee.
Let's get him in.
He's in the Hall of Idiots.
I think Mr. America's in.
Can you imagine a Hall of Idiots?
Yeah, well, he'd be front and centre. Yeah.
I'd love that. He should have his own wing.
Him and Jerry Lawler.
Poor Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
No.
Anyway. So, main show. Randy Orton versus Jeff Hardy kicks off Hell in a Cell. This match really, really took me by surprise.
Yeah.
I wasn't, like we've talked before, this feud kind of feels very 2007, 2008. But I thought what they pulled out of the bag was pretty spectacular, really.
What do we think of the red cage, first of all?
Oh, okay. Let's start at the top. I enjoyed it.
I loved it.
I've got no problem with the red cage whatsoever.
And apparently, part of it was to improve the sight lines.
Oh, really?
People in the crowd. Oh. Yeah, that was part of the thinking behind it. I'm not sure how that would work. Yeah. But
the important question, skills, was it dope?
I think a yellow cage would have been doper. But
save that for NXT.
That would have been weird.
But it was dope. Yeah. I liked it. It was something different.
I thought it was going to look more like a toy. And it did. I mean, the toy is already probably being made, but it didn't so much look like that. It looked good. I thought it'd be a little bit too hokey, but I liked it.
It looked a bit like they'd made it a bit easier to grab and climb up and stuff.
Didn't I question why is there holes in it? Do they purposely? I know why, but in storyline, why is there holes?
Yeah,
in it?
it's a bit strange. Yeah. And even Michael Cole referenced the foothold.
Yeah,
so like, why did you do that?
Yeah, so you expected them to get on the cage then, Michael.
Yeah, exactly.
But yes, the match itself was a surprise.
I thought it was so brutal. Mm. And so often I watch wrestling matches like this and I think, oh, don't really hurt each other because there's no need to do it. Just fake it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want you to get injured. However, it really made me engaged in this match.
Yeah, and Randy Orton, who I've given a lot of stick to, he was really good in it. That screwdriver thing was absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, he was outstanding.
So he really doesn't like his ear, does he? He really doesn't like the piercings.
I really thought he was going to rip it off.
Yeah.
I happen to have a screwdriver in my hand.
Yeah, I know. I'm a bit worried about what you're going to do.
Only because I found it on my desk earlier, and I just thought I'd hold it during the record.
We spoke to Jeff Hardy last week, and he mentioned that spot, and he said there's a lot of wiggle room in that ear.
Yeah.
So there is a lot to maneuver, but it will go at some point. So I don't know how close... I know. or how near they were. I don't know if there was. He was like, no, but yeah.
It's so horrendous.
Yeah.
His spot at the end was good, I thought, because it looked brilliant, but it wasn't. It was clearly like, you're not going to die from that, or you're not going to really badly hurt yourself.
And it was
because he got it right.
Which is, we all expected, and everyone was like, oh, he's going to swanton me off the top of the cage or something like that, which would have been ridiculous. He's not even doing the swantons at live events at the moment because his back is so bad that he's saving it for special TVs and pay-per-view. Right. So he's not going to do it off a cage. So I think that spot was safer, but looked brutal.
I thought it looked brutal, and it was interesting because on the preview show on Friday, I'd specifically said when it comes to big spots in Hell in a Cell now, they have airbags under the table. It's all a lot more choreographed and a lot safer than it used to be when obviously Foley did it 20 years ago. But this actually reminded me more of what Foley did because really there wasn't a lot to break his fall. He thudded through that table, smashed the canvas, and he landed kind of on his front and side, didn't he? It looked awful,
but this him swinging
in an amazing way
from the top of the cage. There was somebody did that skills you'll remember at some point during this show on a cage match. He swang one of the luchadors, I think.
What, like in WWE?
Yeah, at some point, but you don't see it very often.
No. Hell in a Cell?
Yeah, possibly.
The ref did a good job hamming it up as well at the end, didn't he?
Yeah. And Randy that made looked evil as well.
Yeah, that made him look worse.
Like, don't, I kind of feel like cover him.
Jeff has always wanted to do a Hell in a Cell match, and he spoke to Randy about how important this is to him, and I felt they just brought it.
Yeah.
And interesting that we spoke, didn't we, on Friday about that being one of his last remaining ambitions, and it was on the day that they released that video of Matt teasing that he'd retired.
Well, was it more of a... was it an announcement?
Well, because he kind of said he used Woken, didn't he?
Yeah.
You never see Woken Matt again, so I didn't know if he was maybe... He was giving himself a little out there that he might come back, but generally it looked like he was.
He said, "I'm going to go home now." Or something, didn't he? Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're definitely in the autumnal years of their careers.
Well, 41, Jeff Hardy is. I mean, his body probably is probably older than a 41-year-old amount of abuse he's taken. But it's in wrestling terms, it's not as old as we've seen. But yeah, they're definitely in their autumnal years. But
and the thing is, these two have obviously got a lot to give backstage.
Yeah,
and I imagine those are the two of the guys that could have.
He said he doesn't want to do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said he'd rather do his painting and his motocross.
Okay.
He's got a lot of fingers in pies, so. But I think Matt
would,
definitely.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice to think that they'd both take a couple of years with their young kids, raise them, heal up a bit.
Well, they've been part of the company since like the early 90s. There's dark matches in the sort of mid-90s of the Hardys, isn't there? So you think how long they've been going.
Oh, yeah. And they were, do you remember them opening the doors, the King of the Ring doors?
Yeah.
In 96, I think it was.
And there's nothing left for either of them to achieve, is there? Like,
Well, Matt could say he's never been a world champ, but WWE. But
was he ever going to be?
No, exactly. I don't think he will. But yeah, I love this. The front suplex onto the upside down ladder, I thought was.
And the baseball slide with the table used like a surfboard.
Yeah.
That was quite innovative.
There were so many good. And there was something pierced through Randy's leg.
Mm.
I don't know if that was a bit of table or a chair.
There was a lot of blood on this show.
Yeah, there was, and the belt, Jeff's belt being used on Randy's back.
The buckle, it's the studs he's
got.
Little
studs just piercing his skin. It was just,
it's really hard to be innovative in
To be what?
Oh, that word again, isn't it? I can't say.
Say it really slowly.
No, I'm not going to do it again.
One syllable at a time.
No, right. It's really hard to be different in Hell in a Cell, isn't it? Well, we saw it with the Usos and the New Day last year, which really took it to another level. And it's nice to see, because I think the gimmick's dying slightly.
Mm.
I think that's why they painted it red, to give it a bit more oomph. But
I think it was probably the best Hell in a Cell match, or the most memorable Hell in a Cell match. And maybe that's because expectations were fairly low, and we thought, yeah, we'll get a nice big table spot or something. But I thought the intensity they bought, it was really... it just took me by surprise, and I thought it was probably the most memorable Hell in a Cell match
since New Day Usos. But what have those two got in common? They stayed inside the cell.
Yeah.
And there was no outside interference, which, as we'll get to, sort of marred the main event. But that's the whole point of the Hell in a Cell, is to keep you in it.
It's been that was the 10th Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. 10 years.
Was it really?
Yeah. I'd literally go back and go, really? And look at all of them.
Yeah.
And there's not many memorable ones. Triple H, Kevin Nash, anyone?
What did they say? Was it Randy Orton's 7th, did they say?
Yeah,
7th Hell in the Cell match. I mean,
everyone was Sheamus.
What's been all of his opponents? I don't know.
Cena was one.
Sheamus, because that was one I was like, Sheamus Orton?
And Undertaker probably.
Yeah.
Was Edge one? No.
No, I don't think so.
Tweet us at WWEGP. Yeah.
Do. Please do. Match number two, Charlotte versus Becky Lynch. I was super, super excited for this match.
Great package as well.
Thanks very much.
Hey.
Small
package.
Yeah.
Hey.
Annoying. 1, 2, 3.
Don't get it.
Small package is a pin.
Oh, I thought you meant as in swinger
and
the
also,
spokes,
as well.
Too many smiles during the entrances in this one. I kind of wanted,
a bit more.
From who? Becky?
Becky and Charlotte.
I didn't know it was Becky smiling.
Yeah,
I know Charlotte's smiling, but I didn't know it's Becky smiling.
And I felt like Becky was posing to the crowd a bit too much, given her character change.
I wanted Becky to go right out. I wanted to, when they do the, this is for the, I wanted her to interrupt that and just go for Charlotte.
Mm. And also the beginning of the match, there was lots of mat wrestling.
Yeah, it took a while to click. I thought it was a strange positioning for it. I thought, my first note on this was it's going to be a schmozzy finish if it's the second match on the card.
Yeah.
So that was a bit.
I thought it would be higher on the card, and maybe the sort of mat wrestling is all right at this stage of the feud, because it's kind of one-upmanship. They're both trying to prove that they're better than the other,
and that's kind of been Becky's point, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm as good as you.
Yeah. So I guess that works, but just the smiling thing slightly annoyed me. I really expected a Shawn Michaels at In Your House 7, Good Friends, Better Enemies. When he was coming down to face Diesel, who'd screwed him over, he just walked with, what's his name, Jose Lothario, and he just walked down the aisle, did that, which is a hand gesture that the people listening can't see, but just had stony face, just walked direct. There was none of the prancing that HBK normally does. And I remember watching that as a kid thinking, oh, he really hates Diesel. Yeah. This is real, because he's not spinning around, he's not dancing, he's not having a laugh with the fans. And I expected that sort of similar vibe from
Becky. Do you think that's because I think they've slightly tweaked Becky's character, because the initial thing was her going heel, but because of the reaction, so we're a bit led to believe, they've tried to make her, that horrible word, tweener, but not one be the face, one be the heel, but cheery you like. Yeah. So maybe she was still giving something to the fans without trying to be a heel.
Yeah, basically. Perhaps. Well,
I guess in real life you would embrace the love that you're getting from the crowd, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I guess
in real
so.
Life. Like, even if you're upset with Charlotte and whatever, you attack Charlotte back, you know, after the match, whatever, you would embrace.
Just love how you compare real life to a wrestling
world. Yeah, you know.
Charlotte attacks you, you know.
I want to give a shout out to the person in the crowd who had the sign that said "I boo the woo." I thought that was
That was funny.
Was he near our favourite friend with the long hair?
I think he was near the friend with the long hair with his mother.
Yeah. A lot of people, I tweeted a picture of him last night. Obviously, always front row, front and centre, every single pay-per-view.
People were a bit mean.
Can we ask WWE to get him on the show?
Yeah.
You see, there was something to wrestle where they were talking about an old WrestleMania and the fans who were always in the front row. And Comrade asked Bruce Pritchard how, you know, do they get special privileges for tickets or whatever? And he said, no, and we could never work out how they always got the same tickets. So not even the company, no, but they'd be like, go and say hello to them, whatever, before I'll nice to see you again kind of thing. But no idea. They were always at the front of the queue.
So strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm determined to get to the bottom of the story. There's lots of...
It's probably something like they know someone who works at Ticketmaster
there was
or C-Tickets
the replies
or wherever.
On the tweet you put was that apparently someone's saying that he knows the ring crew.
Right.
But is it the same ring crew every town they go to? I don't know.
Well, I think it is. I think it's the WWE crew that travel around. But the point is, he's at every single pay-per-view. He's at every single pay-per-view with his mum. Which is just a bit odd.
Do we know that's definitely his mum?
Well, it's an older woman.
Maybe he has a lifestyle choice. He likes that.
He's a fan of that age bracket.
Yeah, he likes the elder lady.
The bracketology.
Yeah. He's a bit Mark Henry back in the day.
Sexual chocolate. shout out to my old school friend, Bruff Cooper, by the way.
Oh, I saw him tweeting at
who's,
you.
He's recently got in contact.
Bruff? Is that his name?
Bruff, B-R-O-U-G-H.
What? Bruff.
But it was really funny.
Like a dog with a cold.
But it was really funny.
Bruff.
At school, our physics teacher, Mr. Dennis, I think his name is
Shout out to
Dennis.
Mr. Dennis.
Shout out to Mr. Dennis.
He'll be on Twitter this week.
Huge
physical education.
he could never say Bruff. He would look down at the register and he was doing the register and he'd go, Brow, brew, bro, bra, bra, bruff. And he finally
listeners, come back.
Yeah. They're leaving in droves. Anyway, shout out
Bruff's
to Bruff Cooper. What did you think of this match? Because I thought Becky Charlotte built really, really nicely.
Yeah, I thought it was a builder, wasn't it?
Yep.
It was, she worked on the arm, one of those kind of matches. It's going to focus on that. But yeah, I was with you for the first half. I wanted a little bit more intensity, but it did build. I love the spot where, because obviously the arm was the problem for Charlotte for most of the match, but she outpowered the armbar and lifted her.
It just showed the sit-down power.
Yeah, that Charlotte
Amazing
had. That
spot.
Was a good spot.
Amazing
and
spot.
I was surprised that Becky won and clean.
It was a bit of a... I really enjoyed the match. Like, thoroughly enjoyed it. Really got into it. I thought they built a really nice story. I thought they took the crowd along with them for the whole
wrestling
way.
Wrestling was good too.
Yeah, it was I thought it was really nice.
Wrestling.
The ending was pretty quick.
Yeah.
Mm. And was it like a reversal of the spear into a pinning combination? Yeah. And Becky got the quick victory. And it was a bit sudden.
Mm.
And it was a bit of a shock for the title to change hands. But do you think this is a good thing? Where do you think the story goes?
It has to be a good thing because the momentum was all on Becky's side. And I feel if they didn't push the trigger for Becky to win it at this time, then when will she ever win it? And I think the fans will probably get frustrated and start to turn on Becky if they didn't push the trigger for that. So I think it was the right decision to make Becky Lynch win. And obviously they're going to have a rubber woman match.
Well, it's at Super Showdown.
Maybe an Evolution or something?
Yeah. No, it's at Super Showdown.
Super Showdown.
Yeah, in Australia. Yeah.
I thought the ending was such a nice moment where Charlotte attempted to do a handshake. Becky said, no, you're not stealing my
That's
spotlight.
Right. Yeah.
That was very Austin-like after your analogy that Skills and I didn't agree with.
Yeah, that was very Austin-like.
I just love, you know, you're not taking my moment.
I thought
again.
Charlotte might attack her and we might see a sort of reversal of what happened at SummerSlam.
But it's good that Becky did that. That's what Hogan did to Warrior when Warrior beat him at Mania and Hogan went to hug him. Hogan took his spot.
When he did. So what was that? Mania six.
Well, I think what I like about the feud is it is what we always like about it is literally, I want to be better. I am better than you, and it's two competitors proving who's better than who. They don't need any shenanigans. They don't need who's heel, who's face. It's literally two of the best proving who's the better woman. So
They both want to be champion. Which every wrestler should want.
It's not a hard formula to do well.
She's got rid of the friendship just to be champion. That's the story, and I think that helps it along into the next one. It might be more intense. I don't know if it'll probably go to Evolution because they haven't got a match, have they?
They'll face off Evolution, definitely.
So.
And that happened a couple of weeks ago on SmackDown when Charlotte came out with the belt, I think maybe just after SummerSlam, and she was holding up the belt saying, you did that for this? I just thought it was good. And I love in the video package, you've got all the old photos and stuff from their own personal Instagrams and stuff because they are legit best friends. So I'm loving this.
Yeah.
And I think if the feud carries on, I'm well up for it. Well up for it. And I thought Charlotte's performance right at the end.
Is that the anonymous Raw GM?
Exactly like the anonymous Raw GM. They've announced a match at Gorilla Position 200.
Where's Edge when you need
it? I love that.
Yeah.
How far are we from Gorilla Position 200?
This is GP episode 194. 194. God. 6 episodes left.
We've got to get on the planning.
We need to. More news to come. I thought Charlotte's performance was very, very good at the end. Really understated. Emotional,
yeah,
good, very realistic.
The best storyteller in the company.
No, Charlotte Flair.
No.
Kevin Owens was one that popped to my mind.
Oh, is that the same Kevin Owens who's teaming with Natty on Mixed Match Challenge and whose team name is Team Pause?
Of them pairings, aren't they?
I'm sorry. I can't get on board with Mixed Match.
No, I didn't watch any of it last year.
It's like pantomime WWE, isn't it?
It's too much. Like, I understand the reasons. There's the great business reason to do it and more stuff on Facebook Live, and I totally understand it. But I don't understand why it can't be a continuation, at the very least, a continuation of the stories we see week in, week out.
Miz and Asuka.
Suddenly you're getting...
Why not Miz and Marie? Well, we know why, but...
Suddenly you're getting these weird pairings. Like, to see that video of Kevin Owens getting all... nicey-nicey with Natty and talking about Team Paws and cats. It's just like, it's a career killer.
You know, you've got Finn Balor and Bayley together, which, you know, makes our hearts sing.
Yeah. Finn Bayley. Yeah.
GP 100.
It'd be good to have Shelton Benjamin and his missus on there. Ming Ying.
Where is Shelton Benjamin?
Yeah, that's what... So they've had a back and forth. Maya Yim, you know, she was in the Mae Young Classic last year. She used to be in TNA.
Okay.
Her and Shelton Benjamin's had a call Twitter trolling each other. He says, something came up about this struggling reporter, and Benjamin tweeted out saying, that reporter's a better worker than you, to Maya Yim, which Maya reported saying, that reporter has gotten more TV time than you had all year. Which Benjamin replied saying, Korea called, they said no relations. Africa called, they said they don't want you ever. And then she replied with a picture of Shelton Benjamin with the SmackDown coming live soon, saying, WWE called, said, psych. So yeah, that'd be good if they were both in the mixed tag challenge.
Yeah.
So nice. They're together. Twitter bants.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cute couple.
Cute.
Yeah.
Twitter bants.
Why did I bring that up? I don't know.
Couldn't tell him. Yeah. Let us know at WWE GP. So the Raw Tag Team Championship was on the line in match number 3. Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre versus Seth and Dean. The Shield. This was always going to be a great match.
This is fantastic. The best match of the night.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was superb.
Breakneck speed.
It was back and forth. It was thrilling. The crowd was really into it.
Yeah.
It was quite of a long match, wasn't it?
They were all quite long matches.
Yeah, there wasn't that many matches on the card.
It was just engaging. I was engaged in this match from start to finish.
Yeah.
Seth did great work. Ziggler did great work. Drew was there. And Ambrose was great.
What you got? I think with these teams is so good is the chemistry between half and half, like Seth and Dolph, to workhorses who have good matches together. But there's something about Ambrose and McIntyre, and I noticed the one-on-one match between Seth and Dolph when those two were on the outside. They just have they've got a real intensity when they just look at each other and stuff. Like they really hate each other. They could have a great feud, and McIntyre can kip up.
He's so massive.
The kip up was incredible.
Until you see him, like, he's so huge.
That was kind of like a, huh?
Yeah. No way. Love a kip up anyway. I mean, you know, Shawn Michaels, The Rock, anyone who does it, it looks cool.
It's it's one thing Shawn Michaels doing it.
The Rock can little step up, and then to see
Drew McIntyre though. I don't think people quite appreciate.
He's a big lad.
He's a big lad.
I don't think people quite appreciate how massive he is.
Yeah, he's. Well, remember
so
when you see him stand next to Braun? I mean, Braun's flipping huge, and he's only slightly smaller than Braun Strowman.
I love the finish.
Oh my god,
the finish was incredible.
Should we give this match a round of
applause? Yes. This is like one of the matches of the year for me so far.
Do you know what you've got with these four at the top? You've got four people who are probably in different ways on top of their game. You've got Dean Ambrose who's come back fresh, looks new, looks different.
Yeah,
has even got me slightly interested in him as a character. Seth, who I think's probably been the MVP of 2018 without getting the main event shot he deserves.
Yep.
Ziggler has got renewed vigour since coming back on Raw. And you've got Drew McIntyre who's a future world champion. And you put them all together, it just created wrestling magic last night, as you always call it. And
that is a great point.
And I really enjoyed this match.
Yeah.
I love tag team wrestling, and sometimes it gets lost a little bit, the B team. And this is at its height.
Yeah, that is bang on. And I was watching this match thinking the exact same thing. Tag team wrestling, when it's done well, is so much fun.
Yeah.
And this was frenetic, it was urgent. So many awesome hot tags. The near falls towards the end. Michael Cole was nearly killing himself.
And Renee Young. And he was like, I can't believe what I'm saying.
Yeah, just amazing.
Outstanding. Such a good match. And then, but they retained, didn't they?
Yeah.
Right decision. Seth and Drew.
The dogs of war.
Drew and Dolph.
Is that the name, or is it?
Yeah, they said it a couple of times.
It reminds me of when Benoit Eddy and Perry and who was the other one? Dean Malenko came across and they had no name.
Radicals.
Radicals. About 6 or 7 times in the next night. And I was like, all right, they're going to be called the Radicals then. So I imagine that's what they are.
You just mentioned Benoit. That reminded me of something. During SummerSlam weekend,
Kevin Owens.
I had an interview with Kevin Owens. He happened to mention Benoit's name. Just in I can't remember the story he was telling. And he said to me, oh, edit that out.
Yeah,
and then he started the sentence again.
Yeah.
But
and you didn't.
And you didn't.
Yeah,
no. You really didn't.
And now he lost to Braun Strowman in 5 seconds.
He's going to
tag with
card.
Natalia.
He's
tagging Natalia now with paws.
And it's all down
got,
to
it. Yeah. He said what?
Yeah. But the thing is, it was a genuine oversight. I'd just forgotten that he'd said it. And so I uploaded the video to YouTube. And then all the comments going, oh, you're just a piece of SHIT because you didn't edit it out. I was like, genuine mistake. And it was like, oh yeah, as if you just wanted the clickbait. And I was like, as if I'd written in the title of the video, KO says Benoit. It's just,
He just referenced the match, didn't he? Well, I think you asked him about his SummerSlam memories, and he just...
Yeah, exactly.
And the
That's
truth
all
is, you're sloppy and unprofessional. It's not... wasn't...
I just wish they'd learn that and just know that that's what they get from
it. The funny thing is, this next segment is going to get edited out anyway. So that's not what we're talking about.
No, exactly. just my frustrations with the fans online. AJ, Samoa Joe, World Championship, not in the main event slot, as we sort of predicted.
But it still hasn't been in the main event since the draft.
No.
This is ridiculous.
That's going on over 2 years now.
This is ridiculous.
I adore these two.
I know.
They're great chemistry. It just feels like a real nasty, high-impact fight.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought it was... And this was the kind of match that I would show non-fans.
Yes.
I was like, this is wrestling when it's brilliant. And I do believe these two together is WWE at its best right now.
Yeah. It's interesting because the chemistry there is obvious to everyone. And it's weird that he never had it with Kevin Owens and Shinsuke. That never worked, did it, AJ? And
it's weird.
Is that because they... I never saw any of their TNA matches, but is that because they've done it before?
Probably. Yeah, because their TNA matches...
Well, their TNA matches are outstanding. Yeah. They've had 5-star matches together.
And this is up there with them.
With Christopher Daniels, shout out to Christopher Daniels. They've had some terrific matches with TNA.
But then he've had matches with
Shinsuke in New Japan. It just didn't click in WWE for some reason. And unfortunately, AJ had a great match with Kevin Owens once in Ring of Honor, but didn't happen in WWE. So I don't know.
I agree. I think this match was it's nicely building this feud as well. Like I think, did you say it was feud of the year? And I think the first match was like a nice appetizer. This felt like quite a good main course in terms of what we're going to see. And it clearly is another chapter yet because the
Australia.
Ending was so perfectly timed and so well done.
It was so. Thank you. That's the right word. The timing was.
The timing was exceptional. The way they didn't have the reverse camera angle for a few minutes and then they got it in, I thought that was all made it all feel really realistic. The action of this and then leading up to that kind of, you know, quote unquote controversial ending, I just thought was brilliant. And there was ebbs and flows to the action, which increased the drama of it.
Styles lifted him up on his shoulders.
Yeah, Styles lifted him up on his shoulders. That got a great pop. When Styles won the match and Joe was frustrated and whatnot, and Styles, the way he sold, well, I don't know if he was even selling, he might have actually got his, he actually might have been hurt, but the way he was holding up the title and looked like he was about to pass
blood
out.
Hanging
out. Yeah, he got cut as well,
he
didn't
got cut open. It was
just, and then obviously then backstage, the back and forth with Paige and Samoa Joe, it's just great work right now. And I think Joe being moved to SmackDown, it's a blessing, man. Yeah. A real blessing.
100%. And the video package only helped things.
Oh. Wendy!
All based around that.
That storytelling, yeah.
And we said,
time story,
didn't we, that we all wanted Joe to win on Friday. But I feel like there's a good chance he will now.
In Australia.
After that, yeah.
Yeah, potentially.
They do a lot of controversial stuff with Joe. Like when Joe beat Finn Balor and NXT for the title in a house show. It was never on a table.
Yeah, it wasn't Poughkeepsie. Where was it?
I can't remember.
Somewhere really random.
So they might do that again. They might do these random things with Joe where it's like he doesn't have to win in the main thing.
Maybe.
It's just all about controversial moments with Joe.
And also talking about timing and performance and everything, Joe's reaction. He was celebrating his win.
Yeah.
And then but it was as soon as, I think it was JoJo, the announcer, as soon as she...
And still.
Use the word still. And Joe's head turned.
And I think Corey said a great thing. He's like, does that look like a reaction of someone who's just been beaten? I thought that was a good line. Because he looked like a defeated man. He said, does that look like a reaction of a defeated
man? And even Corey's part of it. When Joe was slamming the hand on the table.
I saw it.
It looks like he won.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It was
amazing
so well
stuff.
Done.
Just everything there was well done together. And it reminded me of the Brett Bulldog match. Remember when they had was it Brett Bulldog? I think it was when Brett pinned Bulldog.
Oh, yeah.
No.
But Bulldog's shoulders were down.
No, Brett, Steve Austin.
No. So definitely a Brett Bulldog match.
Oh, okay.
And then Bulldog's shoulders were down, Brett's shoulders were down, and then it might have been a German suplex, I think. I can't remember what it was.
Oh,
was it In Your House match?
Was it In
and
Your House 5?
And there was a lot of controversial behind that, and then they had to do another rematch again.
Was that In Your House 5, where there was all the blood?
Was it Brett or Bulldog, or was it Sean Bulldog?
This is at WWEGP.
Let us know.
Good times, though.
Fill in the gaps. See where they go now, because AJ is clearly the white meat babyface. Does he say, look, I'm sorry, like, I tapped out, you deserve another shot? Or does he say, what the referee stands, that the decision stands? I don't know. How would you play this, given AJ's character and the fact that he wants to stay champion? Because clearly he tapped out. I think it's just on the two, isn't it? So technically, Samoa Joe did win.
And I think it's, they pretty much confirmed it was going to be like a no DQ match in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Given Paige's confrontation with...
AJ doesn't, almost the best thing for him to do will be not to...
To reference it.
Yeah. Because then he'll look like he's whining, won't he? Which you don't want.
Yeah.
So if he just goes, yeah, all right, I'll beat you again.
Yeah.
Down under.
I couldn't impress you.
I can't
wait. I thought it was terrible.
It was like Georgia accent.
Yeah.
And it wasn't JoJo ring announcing because she's Raw, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was Greg Hamilton.
Okay.
Who I love, by the way.
Yeah. Brown shoes.
Always brown shoes.
Oh, brown shoes.
Always the same. But I really think he's massively underrated when it comes to wrestling.
I just really want him to be able to, and obviously he's been told not to, I want him to be able to say, is scheduled for 1-4, pause, let the crowd do it.
1-4.
Because what is wrong with that piece of interaction?
I really
1-2-2 sweet really annoys me.
Yeah.
Because
that interferes with the match.
Exactly.
This is just a little thing they do.
This is like, all the crowd are really excited about the match. They want to be part of it, join in and go,
if it was 1-4. More than 1-4.
Yeah.
but usually they leave a gap, don't they?
No, they cut it out because the crowd started doing it. There's Vince now telling his way.
Vince calling the studio.
Stop talking about 1-4. Do you know who should be there, though? Andy Shepherd. He's a good ring announcer as well.
He is. Shout out to Andy Sheps. Well, I was going to say, on the UK shows, and definitely during the NXT UK tapings, they always leave the gap for the 1-4 from the crowd.
Talking to friends of the show, are we happy with Kevin Clifton's partner for Streetly?
I don't recognise any of the people on Streetly.
Stacey Dooley.
I think there might be quiet ones there.
I think it's a good...
Sleeper couple.
Yeah.
It's a good partner for him. I think she'll do very well.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about the announcers, the commentary team, so I mean, I was thinking the usual, Corey was good, but it's annoying having him on both things.
Yeah.
I think my favourite commentator at the moment / announcer is Byron Saxton.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's not
Kofi Kingston.
Because he's
doing good work.
But no. Because he's like in the Daniel Bryan, Brie, Miz Maurice, Corey was annoying me because I thought sometimes you heal, sometimes you face, and that's annoying. But Byron Saxton's like vehemently face.
Yeah.
and pushes that always. You know, sticks to his point even when they're taking the mick out of him. He's like, no, I'm on the side of right, and it always goes with it. I think considering how we thought of him a year, 18 months ago.
It's very true.
He's made massive strides.
Yeah. He's found his place, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And it's as the unashamedly behind the good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he loves the New Day. Absolutely loves the New Day.
Yeah,
he does.
He gets very excited for them.
But he does because they're a face funny hack. So he's sticking to his role.
Also, why wouldn't you love the New Day when they come out and celebrate the fact that pumpkin spice lattes are now available again? It's officially autumn.
I love that Xavier Woods did the Hell in a Cell in Vince's voice as
well. So AJ Samoa, sort of a fight forever type situation.
Yeah,
this, isn't
they're getting to that point, aren't
just
they?
Just absolutely.
But you
love
want
it.
Joe to have that belt because I feel like he literally does. And it's oversaid that, oh, they deserve it, but he's done so much good stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he deserved it when he was Lesnar, but he deserved a little run with the belt.
He's so good. And if you haven't heard my interview with Joe from New York on Friday's Hell in a Cell preview show, go and listen to it. Check it out in the archives.
He didn't like your question about Dream Match, did he?
No, he didn't.
He didn't like a Dream Match question, but then you asked him, what's your favourite food? And he really enjoyed it. Really
pop and food. He's all like,
I could see your brain spinning, thinking, right, I need to get the next question right. Let's keep it safe.
Always bring it around.
Do you like food?
Always. He was talking about Korean barbecue.
Oh, go on. Can we have a moment to mention our sponsor?
Which sponsor?
James! Get that Punk IPA!
Ah!
There's none left for you, Adam.
No, me and Skills.
They put those in the fridge.
Me and Skills put those in the fridge.
Yeah.
Just leaning over to the studio fridge.
Have some of that refreshing...
That's an adult beverage right there.
That means we're going to get some Ric Flair impressions in about half a can of either.
2:48.
Don't drink it too quickly, Skilly.
No, I won't. First thing I want to be done is to get that Budweiser out of here.
2:48 on a Monday afternoon. After 3 hours sleep. Not a good
Blue
idea.
Dog.
Was there a at work.
Yeah.
While we talk about this wrestling
not
show.
Not a thingy show at the end. Did they not do one this time?
No, I was thinking that. They did the Foley thing on, didn't they? They were advertising.
Which I watched this morning.
No, was that good?
Really, really good.
Okay.
It was just a solid hours, one-man show. Bit of stand-up, bit of storytelling about Hell in a Cell and his career, and it was great.
I'd
recommend you watching it. It's very good. He cried at the end.
That was Ric Flair.
No, that was Mick Foley.
Foley. Okay.
That, of course, was reference to Ric Flair's wedding video that we were talking about earlier on, which I also encourage people to check out. A very, very interesting watch. His wedding video.
Who else was there? Who we didn't see on the pictures?
So Taker was there. Charlotte was there.
Rodman was there.
Dennis Rodman was there for a brief time. Only.
Made a cameo,
of course.
Michael Pierce Hayes was
obviously
there, looking like a
Rock's mum.
Rock's mum was there.
Dolph Ziggler was
and
there.
Conrad
was there. So Dolph is just great friends with Ric Flair.
That's the answer.
They've been friends for 15 years, apparently. Okay. Apparently, Dolph is, one of the Brew Dog. Making me burp already. Dolph is apparently one of Ric Flair's favourite people in the entire business.
So
they're really close.
No. Yeah, no. Obviously an age gap.
It's a very odd partnership.
But that does make sense because when Conor McGregor was dissing all the wrestlers.
The wrestling wrestlers.
Ric Flair tweeted at him saying, "A day to go 5 minutes with Dolph Ziggler, he will make you tap out like a little baby or whatever, like that, stuff like that."
There you go.
Bet you wish he managed him instead of the Miz then. Not, I love the Miz, but they had that weird sort of manager.
Yeah, that didn't work.
Didn't work, did it?
No, that's terrible. Yeah.
Managed AJ in TNA as well.
He did, yeah. They was part of the faction.
Fortune,
yeah.
I always shudder when I think of Ric Flair's days in TNA.
Yeah, just think about the bit.
His best thing was with Jay Lethal, though.
There was one show.
When he used to do Ric Flair.
That was the best thing ever.
There was one show I watched where he got stripped down to his pants.
That's on the 30 for 30, that footage.
That happened in WCW.
What are you talking about, James? That's WCW, that's WWE. What show are you talking about?
Yeah.
That's Flair in general.
But he was just going through a rough patch.
That's Flair during your interview with him last week. That's Flair does that all the time.
Just does it in his pants all the time.
He strips down.
But I remember Finn Martin of Power Slam.
Shout out.
Just saying... and then he got stripped down to his pants, and it was like watching an old man in his pants, which I just thought was such a good line. Anyway, I'm glad Yeah, people should check out the wedding video. It's an interesting watch. And Undertaker's there. Michelle McCool's there. They're all interviewed and stuff.
An Undertaker at a wedding. Yeah. Who'd have thought it?
Do they say Mark? Do they say the word Mark, or do they...
No, he's referred to as the Undertaker.
I love that.
Was Triple H there?
However, on Mick, going back to Mick Foley's show, 20 Years in Hell, or whatever it's called on the network, which, as I said, is definitely worth checking out, he refers to Undertaker as Mean Mark.
Callous.
Yeah.
Mean Mark. Must be very few people are allowed to call him that. Foley's
probably the only one. So, moving on. Next match, Miz and Maryse versus Bree and Daniel Bryan. Now, this, I mean, I was excited for this match. I really enjoyed this match. I thought it was very fun. But there was definitely... I was definitely struggling to concentrate. I mean, it was half two in the morning, but we were sort of halfway through the show. It was a four-hour show. Mm. 4 hours is too long.
Yeah. This was the sports entertainment match as well, wasn't it? And we'd just come off the back of a load of really good, solid wrestling matches, and you knew... One thing that gets me at the start is that, apart from the B team, Bree's got the worst music in the entire company. That just hearing that Bree mode just makes my skin crawl, and that put me in a bad mood. But
I felt the crowd were very quiet during this match.
I actually thought Maryse was the MVP of this match.
Well, she
was really good healing it up, running away and stuff.
Yeah. 5 months after she'd given birth to step in a wrestling ring is mightily impressive.
Yeah.
So props to her. But
I thought she did well. As you say, that whole coward stuff and running away from Brie all the time.
Classic wrestling heel stuff.
Yeah. Classic old school.
I do like how they do that, though, that Brie clearly could have caught her. So you kind of run it when you're trying to chase in a child. Yeah. So it's kind of like they run it at half pace. It's like, just grab her.
But Brie's pouty face across the ring, oh, I'm really cross about this, compared to Maryse, who was much more convincing. It was quite striking, I thought. Mm.
I enjoyed it. The 4 hour thing, and you can't really say this when we have to sit through, 7 hours of WrestleMania. But I do think 4 hours is still too long. I found it when I was watching All In, and probably experienced it more then because I wasn't that kind of engaged in any of the storylines or the characters. I was more kind of watching that for work, if that makes sense. But 4 hours is a struggle.
Yeah.
And I really felt like there was a dip in pace in the pay-per-view here. As much as I enjoyed this match, between here and the end of the show, the first half.
It kind of has to be, doesn't it? Because they need to fit a lot of storylines on one show now, because there's not separate pay-per-views. And you're thinking of the amount of people that weren't even on this show, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens.
No, it's true.
It's
Nakamura. Neither the IC nor the US title.
No, exactly. So it's going to happen. I agree. I think this is where it dipped. And I think the crowd felt that. I think Daniel Bryan had to really get them going with the yes. If he didn't have the yes thing, I think this would have been a bathroom break. Because I think a lot of people were quite low. I thought the crowd was quite quiet. And I do want... This feud has been the dream feud for we've talked about it a lot.
You and me, yeah.
Yeah, we really wanted this. And I don't know if we expected too much too soon from it. And I don't know if adding the girls in has kind of maybe derailed it slightly to extend it. I don't know. He's just missing something at the moment.
I'd sort of agree, but I sort of disagree. I think adding the women has been a good way to keep the storyline going. And it makes logical sense.
Yes. Yeah.
And the "you son of a bitch, nobody touches my wife."
That came out of nowhere.
I thought that was quite good. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I think this is also testament to how good the previous matches were, because the action has been so great up to this point. And as Matt said, this was sort of the entertainment spot, if you like. But what are your feelings on Miz and Daniel Bryan? And
I agree that Miz and Maryse was great. They were their typical chicken shit heel.
Oh, I'm not so sweet, am I?
Not ideally. Sorry. Apologies for that.
Sorry, guys. Was good. Mm. They were really good in that. But Brie Bella being vicious and attacking Maryse, that was okay. And Bryan did his part. But it was just, I was never really invested in his match. And I think while I was watching it, it just didn't change for me.
I think the Daniel Bryan really went for it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was because he was trying to G up the crowd even more. But he really laid into Miz.
But he shouldn't he? Because the feud's been years in the making. Yeah. But he, for the love of God, you mentioned Benoit earlier. No more going for that diving headbutt. It makes me think of Benoit, and you literally lost your career because of head trauma. Just don't do
it. Well, Harakiranda as well, he does from the top rope. I mean, that's probably not the best thing to do for somebody who's had a really bad
But that headbutt to me is synonymous with Benoit. Yeah, so it's difficult to watch. But just, mate. He made the big thing, didn't he, of "I can come back because I can modify my wrestling style." Well, just don't Yeah, headbutts are not part of your repertoire anymore. Yeah,
I have to agree with Matt.
I agree.
The yes kick bit was good, where they both were kneeling down.
That
they
was good.
The in unison.
Finish was sort of sloppy and flat. Though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was quite sudden, and it was, what was it? A sort of slightly botched roll up.
Yeah.
And Maurice just managed to get Bree
but
down.
But I have to admit, Bree's reaction and Maurice, both of their reactions after the pin.
Yeah, that was really good.
That was good. Bree looked genuinely upset.
Yeah.
And Maurice looked genuinely shocked and surprised that she won. So it was good.
And Miz and Maurice kissing on the
other. Yeah, they're great. Yeah.
Their outfits, their whole presentation are totally hilarious.
Yeah.
They're so good.
Yeah, it's true.
And then we move on to Ronda Rousey versus Alexa Bliss. Raw Women's Championship on the line.
Talking of outfits, what the hell was Alicia Fox wearing?
That's the first note I've got. Yeah. I mean, she looks like David Bowie. No, she doesn't.
No, she really
looks
doesn't.
Like she got dressed in the dark.
She looks
by
like the Hunger Games. That's what I thought.
Was that supposed to be a Bowie tribute?
I have no idea, Skills.
Because because Renee Young said it so quickly.
Mm.
That I feel like that was her way of trying to tell people.
Why?
Listen, that's supposed to be a Bowie thing.
But why?
I don't... She's not crazy.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of like her saying, hey, look at me.
Yeah.
You know, like Mickey James was dressed normally.
Yeah.
Mickey James looked hot, by the way.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I don't care. If
saying Alicia Fox didn't.
I think Alicia Fox is very attractive. I just didn't think she looked...
She looked like a pantomime dame.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you can't really say that's hot.
unless you're a widow twanky fetishist. Yeah.
Well, you can.
This conversation's got you a weird...
But I love the way the commentators went, yeah, I mean, Alicia Fox at ringside. A bit distracting, isn't it?
Mickey James looked really nice.
Yeah. George!
Roll Tide.
Yeah, half Skills. Half the can's down.
Half the can's down.
Skillet
yep.
is around the studio.
Skills is now on the other side of the studio doing a You Can't See Me to himself. And now he's wearing a cap given to us by Shell.
He's doing his John Cena impression.
Very odd. We can only apologise. We'll carry on talking. We hope Skills comes back to us
back.
And joins us once again. So first title defence from Ronda. She's got a lot to learn when it comes to her strikes. I feel like so often she does like a quick flurry of UFC-style strikes, and it can be really effective, but she does it so often, I think... She needs to add some kind of pro wrestling theatrics to it so the whole crowd can take in what she's doing.
Actual punches don't look good in wrestling,
no,
do they?
No.
Like when,
no,
it's
exactly.
like when Brock does it sometimes. Yeah. You get somebody close
or Shane O'Mac.
And punch him. Yeah. Well, Shane O'Mac tries to do it, doesn't he? But when I remember Brock did it with Braun when he was it the Rumble where he got annoyed with him and punched him properly?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you need to calm down.
Yeah. But it just doesn't look like... It's like the Mickey Rooney in he did it in...
Jericho.
It was the director of the wrestler, Darren Aronofsky, did an interview in Power Slam back in the day, and he was saying they had to teach, not Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rooney's the little guy.
Yeah. he was apparently a trained boxer, and they had to teach him
that's right.
Have to show your punches, not
that's
disguise
right.
them. Like
yeah.
So like the guy in Rosette has to see it coming. She's not quite got.
And
exactly.
And that's why they rehearsed it with Michaels and Tyson. That kind of went wrong.
Mm.
But sorry to cut you, James.
No,
but
no,
the best on-screen punch of wrestling in history is what you watched recently with the Piper Goldust.
Yeah.
Parkable when Piper is punching right in the face.
I think kind of real punches and those kind of offense can really work if the timing's right.
Yeah.
It's just she sort of goes so quickly, it doesn't give the crowd enough time to take in what she's doing. However, her selling...
Sold like a trooper.
I thought absolutely on point. Not an easy art form to learn.
Especially with Ronda Rousey as well.
And she remembered it at the end of the match, which is impressive, isn't it? When Natty was raising her hand. It's easy to get lost in the moment then.
So I sent a tweet suggesting that maybe she's been getting tips from Shawn Michaels at the PC, who was obviously one of the best sellers ever. But we got a tweet from Steve Rawlinson saying, I thought so too until the injury mysteriously switched sides towards the finish, left side of ribs throughout the match, and all of a sudden it was her right side. I didn't notice that, did you?
Maybe the pain went across.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Let's give her the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, the pain spread.
Yeah.
But generally, I thought she did really well. And if you think... I feel like there was a lot of kind of smoke and mirrors in her WrestleMania match.
Yep.
There was a lot of rehearsals that went into that. It was kind of led by Triple H, who had legends like Kurt Angle in there as well. And then with her match with Nia Jax, there's a big size difference, which I think probably helped. But this match, two competitors who was Alexa Bliss is very short, but you know they're similar size. I thought there was nothing really to hide behind. There were no tricks in this match. And I thought she did really well.
Yeah, she still gets her talking to the crowd and talking to the people on the outside in to help cover the spots as well, the spot calling, which is clever.
Yeah, it is, but she did it less than
she did. And you'd rather do that, wouldn't you, than what we see from a certain scene.
Spinebuster!
Yeah. Whose entrance was Smoke and Mirrors, by the way?
Cody.
You only smoke and mirrors.
Oh, the only thing around it, I'd like her to be less smiley when she comes out. She's really, really smiling.
She's dead happy to be there still.
Yeah, I think get over that now. You know, hone your character. You're out there defending your title. Alexa Bliss has, you know, hurt you, so you're out there to hurt her, basically.
It's crazy to think she's been in WWE for 9 months now.
Yeah.
Remember that big, you know, the big entrance of the Rumble at the end of the pay-per-view?
Her top's getting smaller and smaller by a match as well. It started off quite long. Now it's literally almost just a sports bra, but I don't know.
Guys,
what
do you still hate her music skills?
Yeah.
Are you joking?
No, I'm with you, Skills. It's not wrestling music.
It's not wrestling music.
It was don't come out to that. No. You don't come out to that.
Well, she did a UFC.
That's different. It's as bad as Cedric Alexander's theme. You don't come out to that song.
That's a tune as well. That's an absolute banger.
It hasn't got that. Brock Lesnar has the, you know, the first bars where you're
go on,
like,
do the first bars.
Well, thank you, Skills. When it just goes, I'm not there. It's already in the song. It hasn't got any good intro.
I love Brock Lesnar's theme.
No, I'm talking about Ronda Rousey's.
Yeah, Ronda Rousey's.
It was on Six Music on the breakfast show a couple of weeks ago, and it was so discombobulating. I was like waiting for the toaster to pop.
I'm giving them a invitation.
No.
I love it.
It's a good tune. I just don't think it's a wrestling tune.
Where's Nia Jax and Asuka?
Nia Jax is injured.
She was backstage apparently last night.
She's off winning awards.
Oh, okay, that's good to know.
And building a relationship with Luke Gallows.
Yeah, they're together now.
Yeah, is this real?
Which is mad.
He tweeted it.
Luke Gallows' missus was his valet in Bullet Club.
Oh, was it? And Asuka's been on SmackDown. She's been happy-go-lucky with Glow, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's good. She's done.
Is she on Glow?
No, she's been.
She's done. She was in the pull. She was one of the people doing the pull apart for Charlotte and Becky a couple of weeks ago. Oh, she's done. Yeah, she done.
Nah.
Now she's laughing.
She's not done.
Did you not see the bit with her and Naomi? Yeah. Oh, she's got a funny accent because she's not from America.
Is that what it?
She's teaming with Naomi.
She's done.
Against the Iconics.
How can you just build a beast like this and then destroy her?
No, but listen. It's peaks and troughs.
She's done.
We can't say she's done.
Her and Nakamura.
Do you think she's going to be part of Evolution?
Yes.
Oh, she'll be in the four-way match for the tag titles with Naomi or something.
Don't
like
say
that
to me, man.
That's the truth.
You're really hurting my feelings.
Yeah. Oh, but you're hurting my feelings as well. Really is. But she's done.
James, are you not going to defend me here?
No, I'm with you. I don't think she's done. I think this is just done. A lull.
Nah,
she can't know. You can't say she's done.
Well, Triple H is hard work. That's gone down the toilet. Because
but that's what happens when.
That's happened, doesn't it? Yeah.
NXT's one thing.
Yeah, no one wants to graduate.
Triple H, I want Velvety Dream. No.
No, you don't. Not yet, Vince.
Not yet, Vince. Not yet.
But he put it on his trousers.
I want him now. No, no. Put call me up, Vince, on your ass right now. I won't call you up anytime soon.
And I want it to dance. I thought it was a good match.
Let's just circle back.
Yeah, I think Alexa's great. Whatever she does.
But she's the best.
She's the best.
Who's better than Alexa Bliss?
Who's better than Canyon?
On the mic. Who better than Canyon? And who's better than Alexa Bliss? On the mic. I mean, she's probably not. She's not the best worker, but she still can work.
She does.
You know what I mean?
She's the best NXT caller. She wasn't an indie person before.
Mm. Best heel in the company. Better heel than Charlotte, and I love Charlotte as a heel. But she's a better heel than Charlotte, and I think Alexa Bliss. I've got nothing but
she was great a couple of weeks ago when she came out in
Never Turn Her Face.
She's from, I can't remember where she's from, and she was all like, this is my play. And then she did the classic, you saw it coming, but the way she did it was brilliant.
I think Bliss should do the Ted DiBiase route and never become a face. Mm-hmm. Always heal.
She wouldn't be a very good, even like at the start of the match when they do the introductions and the person said, Alexa Bliss, and the crowd boos, and she just gets that look on her face like, what are you booing me for?
She does the means like, WWE used to be really bad at doing the mean girl thing. That's what every feud used to be based upon. But she personifies it and does it really well herself.
Even though you and I broke her last year.
Yeah, she was great.
She was in character, but then we broke her.
But I think she's good. Cool. Like James has interviewed her as well. I think she's good outside of character as well. She's genuine. So.
Yeah, she's great. She great.
And it's good for her now. She can just transition into Trish Stratus, I guess. Because the only worry was here was that she's just going to get fed to Ronda and then gone again. But I think she just about saved grace.
And hopefully that Trish and Bliss feud will be really entertaining.
And Alexa's got to win that convincingly.
Oh, God, 100%. Yeah.
I would say convincingly. Not convincingly.
She will, though.
If she doesn't, that's very damaging.
I would say convincingly. Yeah.
but she needs to. I would like Bliss to win it, but it doesn't have to be convincing. Trish is all time great as well.
Yeah, but is she?
Trish is one of my favorites. She's a legend, man.
Been going back through old WrestleMania.
She's a legend, man.
And watching her matches.
Hey, she wasn't the best worker, but she worked hard. And
but she started from now.
And
started from nothing.
Also, Trish, when she was a heel, was very much how Bliss was. So. Trish is my girl.
But you don't have somebody who hasn't wrestled a match in 10 years beat one of your hottest.
I totally agree with you. She can't win that match.
It's interesting they've gone think she will. Lita, Mickey James.
I hate Lita.
And not me, Mickey James. Just
you hate Lita?
I hate Lita.
Why?
I was never a Lita fan. She was all right with Team Extreme, and she did some good spots and good horror
take
runners,
that beer away from him.
Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about.
What do you mean? I got my opinion.
No,
my opinion.
Yeah, but no my one opinion. Can hate Lita.
I can. And I will. And are I you, have. Are you still, for many years I have.
Are you still
joking? She's a butch master. Butch master. Yeah, I said it. Tweet me at Skillet World. SKIWLD. The first thing that needs to be done is to know that the leader is a butch master.
James, do you think that Trish should and will win that match then?
I certainly don't think she should.
But you think
I just have a feeling because they lord Trish Stratus so much. She's in the Hall of Fame, right? Yeah, she is. I just feel like they could give her that moment as a final big send off, but absolutely not saying that's the right thing.
Quite frankly, what we have for you here is
exactly. Okay, so let's go on to the main event of Hell in a Cell: Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman. Cash in for Braun. Oh yeah, his cash in's gone.
Yeah,
that's it.
That Healy thing that he did. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
Worst cash in ever.
So the cash in's gone. Hell in a Cell match, Universal Championship,
Corbin.
Corbin or Sandow. Oh, hang on.
Or Kennedy.
Or because it was a non-finish, does that mean the cash-in's still in play?
Oh, don't say
that. Is that going to be his argument?
Technicality.
No, because the match started, didn't it? From when they always say, because they always tease it and then the bell doesn't ring. It's the bell
that
ringing.
That is so true. That's right.
So what did we think about this? Skills coming to you first.
I loved this match.
Did you really?
I don't care what anybody says. I thought this was entertaining.
take that Brewdog off.
It was obviously Reigns was Mr. Superman. As per usual. So that was a bit annoying. But that's cool. That's fine. Because the Shield came out. Then the War of Dogs came out. They had a fight on top of the cage.
War of Dogs. You mean Dogs of War?
There we go. I'm a bit drunk.
They had the fight. I'm sorry, guys.
They had a fight on top of the cage. That was entertaining. The predictable spot happened when they fell through the announce table. Yeah, that was terrible. I was like, okay, where are they going with this? But then the Beast arrives.
So before we get to the Beast coming back, the beard incarnate.
Yeah, very good.
You
James.
See, as you got on with your tweets, they did get a bit funnier. So, Give Me Strength should have pinched that one.
I know, yeah. I know. I DM'd them and said, "Can you nick this one?" But they didn't. They'd fallen asleep by that point.
This is so bad.
So before we get to the Beast coming back, have I missed something or? What was the reason for them starting to climb the cage?
I really had a problem with this match.
I just
was trying to get away from them.
Okay,
well, just run around the ring then.
But why do they have to come out anyway? It's a Hell in a Cell match about the two people in the cell. The match was quite good until that point.
They had to
then
come out.
They didn't. Then the four of them came out, right? And these two behemoths, who are the two strongest people in the company, and you know Roman who can go and Braun, who's a monster, they just laid there for about
eternity,
10 minutes.
Yeah.
No, but Matt, you're forgetting. Reigns kept kicking out of everything Strowman was giving to him. So he said, "Come out, guys." And that's when they came out.
But he didn't say, "Come out."
No, he didn't.
And how did, come out, guys.
How would they get in?
He didn't say it like that.
That is a fabrication.
Yeah.
He didn't say
that. That's why he said that. Oh, it's 3 and 4 a.m. in the morning.
They were having a good match. The bit where Foley did the miscount added drama to it. Yeah. They ad-libbed on that nicely with Braun having to go at him.
Yeah.
And then they brought out all the shenanigans and the bells and whistles, climbing up. As Skills said, the bit where Seth and Dolph fell off was ridiculous.
Yeah, that
I mean, it was really silly.
Yeah, that was silly.
It's one of those spots, just to jump in, it's one of those spots, and I remember Seth and Dean did it a couple of years ago, and it's like, it's sort of impossible to get the timing right and it to be safe. So the timing always looks a bit off. Mm. It always looks a bit too predetermined and planned. And I just, but why were they scaling the cage?
Yeah. No need for it, was there?
It was just, what reason was did so... they go up there in the first place? There was no logical reason. You know no. what? I'm just going to go up. Instead of going out the rat out into the back and away yeah. from you, yeah. I'm just going to go on the top of this massive structure.
And so there was nowhere else they could run.
Yeah.
But regardless of that, it was just the fact that it made the two guys in the ring who'd been working so hard look so ridiculous.
Yes.
Just lying down for 5 minutes while that all went on.
Yeah.
It took what was a great show and made it a really good show.
But what did you guys think of the finish? Like the fact that it wasn't a clear victor, was that a problem for you? I don't think that was a problem for me.
No, because I think the commentators explained the fact that it was a non-contest. I know that there's been a lot of tweets on our feed saying, oh, you've ruined the stipulation because there's no disqualification. No one was disqualified. It was a no contest.
Yeah.
Both wrestlers couldn't get up.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's a no. I get that.
Yeah.
It's still a little bit. It's a Hell in a Cell. This shouldn't happen. But I get it.
Yeah.
So that's fine. And it's out for both of them. No one loses.
I thought it was a bit of a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Which is good.
I didn't mind the ending. And I actually thought because Brock smashed them so hard with bits of the table. I mean, he really just went down.
The fact that he ran up the bit of the cage that he'd ripped off to get into the ring, that was really cool.
I loved it.
Yeah. But again, you're showing that these are two toughest guys, Roman and Braun, and no match for Brock Lesnar.
But that's the thing, but I love that. No one should be a match for Brock Lesnar.
But
I agree with that.
To be honest, my first reaction when I saw Brock, I was kind of like, nah.
I popped. No, I popped.
I popped. I didn't mind him being there at all because it was a surprise. I really didn't expect
it. It wasn't a surprise, and this is a minor aside, but a gripe. A couple of people, a couple of wrestling accounts tweeted Brock Lesnar is backstage.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Thank God.
Wrestling News Source, I saw, did that.
I saw it was backstage as well.
There were a couple of people who said there is somebody backstage. You know, like you put a tweet out, someone backstage, click on the link if you want to read it. Fine, fair enough. But Brock Lesnar is backstage. Okay, well, he's coming out in the main event then. Why do that?
Yeah, that's weird.
Beard looked good, though.
Beard looked excellent. He dropped weight, presumably.
Yeah, I thought he looked a little bit. Yeah.
For his upcoming UFC match in
blank
January.
T-shirt. That's very unlike Brock
blank
not
t-shirt.
Wear a branded Brock Lesnar T-shirt.
Heyman hitting Mick Foley with this mace. It was all. I enjoyed it.
Foley didn't take a bump. That was good.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Foley. I was like, was his role really necessary in the end? What did he actually bring to the match?
Nothing.
Well, maybe some network subscriptions.
Maybe.
You know, it's just that added element of bringing some history.
He brought nothing, but that's fine.
He brought his old shirt
I enjoyed
back.
It.
But to be honest, he as we said, we didn't want him to be at the center.
No, we didn't.
So I think he played his part fine, and I thought
I enjoyed
it was a nice addition.
He did botch that count, though, didn't he? That wasn't on purpose.
Yeah. No,
I liked it when Braun screamed at Roman, "Get up, you moron."
Yeah.
I just love the word. I love the fact that Braun knows a word
like moron.
To me, it's a very English word.
Yeah. I haven't heard that in WWE before. I'll take a safe bet that no one's ever said moron in a WWE ring before.
Do you know what? I didn't really even love the Roman Braun match before all the shenanigans. Because obviously I was doing live tweeting for the GP account, and I felt like when it came to the main event, I just didn't really have a lot to say. And that was because I don't think there's much of a story there.
Yeah.
We've seen these guys fight a million
times.
They've
done so much as well, haven't
they? It's just a bit overdone, and there's nothing fresh and original there. I thought the action was fairly pedestrian. There wasn't
It was a great feud back in the day, though, wasn't it?
It was.
Ambulance match and everything. And we used to say, oh, these two, this can be one of the main story arcs of their respective careers, them fighting each other. But it was just a bit flat. Maybe that's because it was all building to the four guys coming out and then Brock coming out.
Yeah. Weirdly, when I was watching the match, I thought back to Great Balls of Fire. And you and me, Matt, did the reaction show. I was at my mum's drinking a vat of iced coffee the next day. And we were talking a lot about Strowman and Roman. But, yeah, for me, this one just was a bit flat. I didn't think any of the action was that memorable. It's just not something that I'll... I certainly won't go back and watch this match.
No.
Put it like that.
They've had better. Where do we think Brock fits in then? Are we looking at a triple threat Survivor Series?
Probably, possibly, yeah.
Surely he's not going to want to do that close to January.
Well, if he's got a fight in January, I'm surprised. I mean, I'm genuinely really surprised to see him back.
He might not want to do it. And Dana White surely would be like, you're not doing it.
Is it just a message to say, oh, I'm still around. Maybe he won't be back until post-fight.
Unless it's... Oh, no, I was going to say they'd add him to the Australia card, but that's the six-man, isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
and there's no pay-per-view between that, is there? Because Survivor Series is actually the next proper pay-per-view.
Only Evolution.
Yeah.
Which you can take on Carmella at Evolution.
With Archery.
It's Brock Lesnar!
One thing I want to say, you know when Seth and Dolph fell off the side? Michael Cole said, Rollins fell and burnt it down. And I just thought these reactions to these big spots are getting the scripts for the calls
it's
are
terrible.
Getting so
hokey.
They're just too scripted. Mm. And I just think if they could go back to genuine reactions, they might get closer to what JR did all those years ago.
And what I didn't like about those four as well getting involved was it took something away from the brilliance of their tag match earlier in the night.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I didn't want to see him again after that. After that,
okay, that's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. But I enjoyed it.
I mean, overall, I really, 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 really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And to say that after staying up till 4 a.m. to watch it, I thought it was great. And everyone worked incredibly hard. And as is always the case, clunky storyline.
Massively. The holes in the Raw storylines, I know I wasn't here for the show on Friday, are gigantic.
Yeah, but getting to the pay-per-views can be a bit of a slog. Yeah. But once you get to the night, you get the good video packages, the action in the ring, the stories that are told between the ropes are great. And I genuinely thought it was a good show.
You know what? For the first time, we were talking about this on the WhatsApp group. I had some problems with the network. It was a bit juddery, glitchy. Sound was dropping out. And I tweeted about it, and I put at WWE Network, and I got a DM from them about 2 minutes later saying, try this, and this. And I was wow, that is sensational service.
Yeah, someone else had tagged us into a tweet. Also having problems, and I saw that.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
Network replied. Mm. So that's really good. I didn't have any problems, but
it did at the start. It leveled out after
it. It did after a while. But I only tweeted about it because it's the first time I've ever had it on anything, and I didn't know if it was because they said, "Oh, it might be your Wi-Fi," and I thought it's 1 a.m. It's not busy on the network.
Matt, how did we do in the predictions?
Once again, it was an entirely pointless endeavour because we all got 4 right. The only one, looking at it, the only one that we all got right was Ronda Rousey.
Of course.
And the only one that we all got wrong was Reign Strowman because none of us
said no contest.
No contest.
I'm annoyed.
I'm the only
Styles
one who got
no
Becky
contest.
Right. And I think that's the... Oh, I'm the only one who got Jeff. I said Jeff. Everyone else said Orton. And Ash was the only one who said the Shield, but other than that, it was pretty even. Steven, so 4 apiece again. There is literally no point in us doing.
Okay, finally, for no reason whatsoever, let's rate the show out of 5 stars. Ash, coming to you first.
A solid 3.
Oh, that's lower than I thought you'd go.
No, I think the main 3.5 maybe then. Yeah, 3.5. I think the main.
Don't let my reaction.
No,
sway you.
No, but I do think the main event's slightly spoiled it from being a 4, so I think 3.5 would be about right.
Okay, I'm gonna go 3.
Just copy and paste exactly what Ash said. 3.5 for those reasons.
Skills. Strong 3.5 for me.
Okay, well done, Hell in the Cell.
Well done, WWE.
I thought it was good. Yeah, very good show. That's the screwdriver you can hear. Anyone here got pierced ears?
No, thank God. He's got proper pierced. He's not just a little. He's got the big old,
Ash, I thought that you would have, back in the day, I'd have had you down as having, because it's quite a 90s thing.
I once toyed with an eyebrow piercing.
Are you joking?
Yes. Luckily, I was talked out of it and I wouldn't look like Shane Lynch from Boyzone.
You haven't got your nips pierced, right?
No, I haven't got my nips pierced, no.
You haven't got...
Your wife must love you, boy.
Have you got a tattoo?
No, I never dabbled in that.
Has anyone got tattoos?
I have.
What have you got?
Hilariously, I've got some, as was the style at the time in the early noughties, some Chinese writing symbols on my back.
Have you actually?
When I was working for BBC Radio Nottingham, we did a feature on tattoos, and so I put mine on the webcam, and somebody who was listening in China got in touch and said, yeah, you see the second symbol? It's missing a line. It actually doesn't mean anything.
What's
30
it meant,
quid, what? I'll never see again.
Oh, what's it meant to say?
Friendship, prosperity, and strength, I think.
Oh, no.
Pretty lame.
And Skills, have you got any tats?
I've got my kids' names tattooed on my body. I mean, that's what's going to happen. That's what I'm going to say to you.
I ain't trying to be a
stepdad. 4 years from now when I become a daddy.
4 years?
Okay.
Okay. So, Angel be a stepdaddy.
So just to confirm,
I don't have kids. Yeah, right. I don't have any tats.
No. You can see why that threw us.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought that was just the massive, biggest revelation.
Heath Slater had turned up.
Wow. Yeah.
Skills. I don't give it about your kids.
Yeah. Skills got kids. Okay. Thanks very much. Lovely to have all four of you
indeed
around the table again.
And lovely to talk about a really good wrestling show as well. Yeah. It's not a slog.
Very positive. Because
are we back for
show.
Super Showdown, or is that not on our on our calendar?
Super Showdown. By the way, I'm in Morocco when that comes out, so I won't be here. Ash and Matt could join you for the Super Showdown.
You're in Don Morocco.
I'm going to be in Don Morocco in October.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
James literally just...
Get
just
off me.
Flabbergasted.
Skills, where can people find you on the social?
You can follow me on Twitter at SkilletWorld, SkilliT World. And if you want to follow me on the Instagram, it's SkilletLovesYou.
Thanks, in a way. Matt, where can people find you?
MJDAFC on Twitter, and you don't like it. Oh, did you just break window?
No, I just...
the two faces that you pull, the same face you pull for when you do that or when you don't like something.
I don't like it, and I broke window.
Okay.
That's why he giggled.
Both simultaneously. Say it again.
MJDAFC.
Are
you getting used to saying that?
Yeah. I think it trips off the tongue quite nicely.
MDGAFC.
MJDAFC.
MJDAFC. Diamonds on my neck.
Yes, I'm fabulous.
Cause it's my day best.
Adams.
Okay.
When does Eva Marie's podcast drop?
For the first time.
Eva Marie's is Wednesday, yeah. Wednesday. Good point, Ash. Wednesday 19th, the Natalie Eva Marie show on Podcast One. Someone listen to it. I can't because I don't want to, but.
I'll give it a whirl.
Yeah, that's coming up this Wednesday. Look, I'm intrigued by that.
Yeah.
Intrigued.
You nearly said looking forward, and then you checked yourself then, didn't you?
Let's all listen to it and see who can last the longest way listening to Eva Marie.
And then Ash, where can people find you?
At Ashrays UK, Twitter, Instagram, say hello, bloody love the 90s. All that jazz.
And I'm at James Zelo. But more importantly, follow the show at WWGP, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/GorillaPositionWWE. And also subscribe to this show on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating and a positive review. That kind of stuff really helps us out. So much appreciated. Thank you for downloading this special show. And we will be back shortly. We've got more interview specials on the horizon. And then, of course, as agreed just now, we'll probably do a show around Super Showdown, and then of course the build to WWE Evolution, the first all-female pay-per-view. Exciting times. Thank you so much for listening. This has been a Starstruck Media production. We shall see you very soon.